Amen. Thank you, Mom. If you are able, FCC, I ask you to stand this morning for me. I know I always say this. A pastor told me if we're not standing for the Word of God, that's the one thing we should stand on. So if you are physically able, thank you for joining me by standing for His Word. The words are on the screen. It's found in Matthew 13, and it says this. When Jesus had finished telling these stories and illustrations, He left that part of the country, and He returned to Nazareth, His hometown. And when He taught there in the synagogue, everyone was amazed. And they said, "Where does He get this wisdom and the power to do these miracles?" But then they scoffed. And they said, "He's just the carpenter's son. And we know Mary, his mom. We know his brothers, James, Joseph, Simon, and Judas. All his sisters live here right among us. Where did he learn all of these things?" And they were deeply offended, and they refused to believe in him. And then Jesus told them that a prophet is honored everywhere except in his own hometown and among his own family. And our scripture this morning ends by saying this, "And so he did." Some translations say, "And so he was unable," but he did only a few miracles there because of their, what's the last word? Unbelief. That's God's word for the people of God this morning. Please be seated. And my scripture this morning spoke to me very strongly, and I've titled this brief message, "Isn't that," who's the name up there?
Jesus.
"Isn't that Jesus?" Isn't that Jesus? FCC, I've got to tell you today that I don't feel like I should be doing anything else except this job. Just like many of you are doing exactly what you think you should be doing. Amen? In your life? But how many of us do know that it's hard? It's hard. Life's hard. Your jobs are hard. School's hard. Somehow dad's even made retirement hard.
Not easy.
We've had a little bit in that, haven't we, Dad? Yeah. And if I can be honest with you today, when you come in here every day and you're a pastor, and what a wonderful family we have here. And we've been growing, and things have been being awesome. But Kameh, I've been on like almost a mental breakdown, haven't I? And I've been on a mental breakdown primarily because of finances. Amen? Anybody in here? Both personally, but with the church. I love our church so much that they made an offer and I accepted it. And I was like, how can I accept it and get paid now full time? When I look, I'm not the sharpest corn knife in the Morton building, but I can still cut a few weeds. Amen, Steve? And I look at the bills our church have, and then I look at what we bring in, and I said it doesn't add up to do this. And like, so I start asking Jesus, "Am I in the right place, Mom? Am I doing the right thing? Jesus, you know, I see these other churches and they don't even have as many as we have, but yet they're making it." And I'm like, maybe I shouldn't be full time. Maybe I should be part time. Maybe I should, maybe I should have Cam become a doctor. She's still young. And I wasn't able to go to the board meeting this week. And I woke up Friday, and we're getting everything ready for today. And I wake up, and I'm like, I needed to talk to somebody in the church. I needed to talk to somebody about maybe, what should I do? I'm freaking out here. So just so that you know, and you think your life is a mess, and that you're freaking out, you're always welcome at FCC because your pastor is worse. And I text Kim Peterson if I could call her, but she was working, and then she said, "Yeah, call me later." And then I told Cam, "I'm not going to call her because I'm already not in a great frame of mind. So if I call her and she's got bad news about how the meeting went, then it's not going to be great. But I'm going to cut to the chase." Can you guys say "cut to the chase"?
Cut to the chase.
I was picking up my beautiful daughters at school on Friday, and I was lucky enough to have Cam there with me, and we're standing there, and Kim comes up, and in my mind, I'm like, oh no, here comes Kim. What? How bad was it? And she said, did you hear about last night's board meeting? Nope, I didn't. We had a congregation member here who, from her and her husband, because it's what God wanted them to do, wrote a wrote a $30,000 check, not to our church, not to me, to be used for your pastor's salary in the next year. Did you hear that? Hold on, I might need to get... We had someone... I've had so many people do things in my life for me. My mom and dad have led the way, and so many other people. We had a congregation member, because God told them to do this, and this was their husband's wish too. And they prayed about it, and they thought about it. And they said, I'm just going to write this check and provide for a church that I believe in. So no matter how infallible your pastor may be, no matter how screwed up our lives may be, it was an example to me that was Jesus, and that was God, and that is Him in our lives. And I know this person probably doesn't want me to say it. Many of you already know it. I'm not going to say the name right now, but I need a round of applause for God. Amen, this morning. And I say for God, because this person would not want me to clap for them. They wouldn't want me to bring them up here. With all my heart, that's what I would want to do. That's what I want to do. But for somebody in here, you have been staring. You have been staring at your own bank ledger. You've been staring at what's coming in versus what's going out. And I'm not always talking about finances. I'm talking about your health. I'm talking about your relationships. I'm talking about your job. I'm talking about your life. And you say, this doesn't add up. But with God, it adds up. Amen? I know, Biff, I've picked on you before. I'm not having you come up, but do you care if I tell about your one tattoo on your foot? He has a tattoo on his foot that says 2 + 2 = 5. Did you hear that? Terry, did you hear? My brother said 2 + 2 = 5. And for those of you who have known Biff for many years, you may have just thought he did math. And that, Biff, I asked you the first time I saw it, I said, why did you do 2 + 2 = 5? And you said, it's because sometimes life don't add up. Sometimes life doesn't add up. 2 + 2 = 5. And I thought of this message. And I thought of what God showed me this week. And I thought of this. Look at our scripture one more time. When Jesus, what are those two words? Telling these stories and telling these illustrations and preaching his butt off. What are the next two words? That part of the country. He returned to his hometown, which is named Nazareth. So first, Jesus, what are the two words up top? What are the next two in red? He had finished and he had left. Let me tell you, this, right before Jesus had finished, and what he had finished doing, he had given the best sermon ever. It's the Sermon on the Mount. It's found in Matthew chapter 12. Read it. It's the best sermon ever given. He had just finished it. He was at the top of his popularity. Everybody wanted to be with him. Everybody wanted him to cure them. Everybody wanted to hang around him. He didn't even have that many haters. He could have been as popular as someone. But when he finished, he left. And he left because God told him to. And I was thinking of our church family, I was thinking of myself, I was thinking of you, and we have a hard time. What's the word in yellow? We got a tough time finishing, and we have a hard time leaving. If you believe that today, can you say amen to me? We have a hard time finishing. If I asked you to raise your hand in here today, if I asked you, there's something in your life that you know God is telling you to do, and you've started it, even if it's a brief start, but you haven't finished. I'm challenging you to finish. And you need God's help. And there's a reason why it's hard for us to do that. It would have been hard for me if I was Jesus to finish my Sermon on the Mount and leave. It would have been easy for me to set up a house on the hillside where he gave the Sermon of the Mount and say, this is where I'm going to live. I'm going to live where people love me. I'm going to live where I feel comfortable. I'm going to live where I don't have to change. I'm going to live right here. And he could have not finished, but he finished. And I'm asking you today, have you finished? Because I haven't. January 7th was my first sermon here, and I told all 18 of you that were here that I was quitting. What was I going to quit? Pop. See, she can't even remember because I haven't quit. You guys, I gave it one day. Boys, do you drink pop? I gave it one day. One day, I had such a bad headache, my hands were shaking, and I was like, honey, I got to go get a pop, and I went and got a pop. I couldn't even finish my quitting pop, and I don't know what it is in your life. Maybe you wanted your relationship to get a little better, and you started doing something together. Maybe it was one date a month, but you quit. Maybe you wanted to quit smoking, and you decided you'd start vaping. Can I tell you to stop vaping? But you wanted to quit smoking, you wanted to quit drinking, you wanted to quit carousing, you wanted to quit doing whatever you were doing, and you started, but you didn't finish. And sometimes it's not even the bad things. Sometimes life is just good. You know, I don't love this job. I think God wants me to go here, but it pays the bills. I get paid every 2 weeks. I get weekends off, so I'm not going to finish. I'm just going to settle. And if that's you this morning, I tell you to stop and finish. And what's the last word? Look at this scripture. So Jesus left, and he returned to his hometown. And when he taught there in the church, everyone was, what's the word? They were amazed. They truly were amazed. And they said, where does Jesus get this wisdom, and where does he have the power to do his miracles? They asked the question, but look one verse later. Then they scoffed. And he said, what are the two words up top? What are they? Just. He's just the carpenter's son. And we know Mary. We know his mom. We know his brothers. It even went on to say, we know his sisters. They don't even mention them. Just the. Do you do that in your own life? I mean, I've done it to God like this where I'm amazed at what he's done in people's lives. I was amazed this Friday when I heard about the contribution to the church. I'm amazed, Lex, when I've heard about what God does in your life through the doctors and specialists and how strong your family's been. But at the same time, I'll flip it around and I'll say, well, God, you're just the God who sometimes doesn't answer all the prayers I want. And he doesn't, but even if you're not that, each and every one of us, almost every morning when you look in the mirror, you say something like this. Today's going to be hard, but you look in the mirror and you have all these questions and you're like, well, I can't. I'm just this small town guy from Ashland. I'm just too old. I'm just too young. I'm just too dumb. I'm just not talented enough. I am just too poor. Or I don't have enough money to do that. I'm just too not qualified for whatever. I'm just too sick. I'm just too whatever. And we do this all of the time, and you look in the mirror and we minimize what we are. Not necessarily who God is, but who we are. God is so great, but I'm not saying he's limited, but when we keep saying, I'm just the whatever. Mom, you're just the spiky gray-haired singer from FCC. That's who God created you to be. You've been living in your just the for too long. Amen? Amen? You've been living in your just the for too long. I want you to look at this with me. You are, what's the word? More. You are more than the just the. You're more. I'm not trying to pump you up. I'm not trying to make you boys run through a brick wall to tackle your opponent. I'm not trying to fire you up. But I was the just the guy. And now I'm just God is so awesome guy. There are times in my wife and my life, aren't there, honey, where we have a real situation and I'll be like, honey, don't worry about it because God's got this. I know you think sometimes I'm acting up here. This is how I live and it'll be a real situation. Yes. And I'm like, honey, God's got this. And she said, okay, but if we wake up tomorrow and God didn't get it, what are we going to do then? Amen, honey. She said, I have the same faith. You have a great faith, honey, but you've got to be realistic. I'm telling you, you're more than the just the. And I invite you to close your eyes across this place. Right now. Right now. You're more than the just the. And I want you to picture yourself. I want you to picture yourself in Nazareth. That is the town that Jesus went to after his great Sermon on the Mount. And he came in, and Jesus was so good at teaching that the people that knew him were so amazed. And I want you to think in your life, when Jesus has been there for you, he introduced you to your spouse, he gave you healthy kids, he cured you, he's healed you from cancer, he's put together something that was broken, he's made a bad day good, he's made a worse day better, he wakes you up every day and you can go out and you've been amazed at God. But then your verse 55 happens. And religion gets stale, your relationship gets stale, your marriage gets stale, everything gets stale, you don't know how it could get better, and he's just the God who I once had, but he's no longer here. And our verse 55, where the people were saying, they scoffed at him, and they said, we know this Jesus, we know Mary, he's just the carpenter's son. That story ends where Jesus actually leaves his hometown. And he says his miracles were limited there because of their unbelief. This morning, FCC, you are more than your just the. Whatever it is, blank, 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 put it in there. You woke up this morning and you say, I'm just too whatever. I'm just this. I can't do that. I'm not going to sign up for this. I'm not going to do that. I can't go there. I can't quit my job. I can't take a new position. I can't take a chance. It's full of can'ts and don'ts and won'ts. And here at FCC, we're done with that. Because when we're living life like that, we're limiting what God can do in and through us. It's biblical. So this morning when those around you tell you that's just a fairy tale, those stories aren't real, I've never seen a miracle happen in my life, you stand up strong and you stand up proud and you say, no, it's not just the, you say it's just the beginning of what God has in store for you. So this morning across this place, I am asking those who are here, with all of your heart and with all of your mind and with eyes closed, we're not coming forward, we're not doing an altar call, but if you have one thing in your life, one thing in this past week, one thing in this past month, that you have questioned, that you said, well, I'm just the, well, you said the circumstances are just too tough, well, I'm not strong enough, I'm not good enough. If you've had anything like that and you need just a little bit extra, you just need to be reminded that you are more than those doubts that the enemy puts in your head. I ask you to raise your hand and stretch it out towards the front of this altar, just like I am. Eyes are closed or crossed here. You stretch those arms out. And when we do this, I always say, don't wait for the person next to you to do it, because they're probably not if you're waiting on them. They may be waiting on your strength for them to raise their hand. By raising your hand, it does not mean you do not know Jesus. It does not mean that you don't have a relationship with Him. It just says, God, I've been living in this just the mentality for far too long. And I'm raising my hand to you today, God, because I'm saying I'm done with that. FCC, your pastor is raising his hand. God, I am done saying I am just an uneducated, unworthy pastor. I am done saying I am just a small town pastor. I am done saying I am just this, or I am just that, or I can't do this, or they won't let me do that. God, I am done. So today, with each arm that is raised, Lord, will you remind them inside that they are far more than the just does that they've limited themselves to? And when we wipe that out, when we say that we're more than conquerors, when we say we're stronger than we think we are, when we say we can do all things through Him who strengthens us, when we come to that place, the blessings that will come our way are unlimited. And God, I'm not talking about cars, money, or anything materialistically. Lord, I'm talking about an eternal life with you and a fulfilled life here on earth. I ask that for each and every person in this congregation, from hands raised to hands down, even to hands that are raised for other people who aren't here. Lord, look down on us today and help remind us that when you come back to your hometown of Ashland and we start scoffing and just saying, He's just the Jesus they used to worship. He's just the God that used to do things. He's just the God that used to fill this church. He's just the God that when things were going well, He was with me, but when they're not, He's not. No, no, no. We are a people that say, God, we are more with you than we are without you, and I am done living that just the mentality. Lord, be with each and every person in this place today as we go forward with you. Lord, change our hearts today so that we can be more like you. It's in Jesus' name we pray, and everyone that believes in that today, say amen.